January 19th. It is a Thursday afternoon. Adam Azer, J. Darren Darst. Darst, how you doing? Haven't had you on the podcast in a couple weeks.
No, I had the BCS Championship hangover. It took me a little while to recoup.
Well, I was out of town. I was on vacation.
Yes.
Which felt great. And I was able to get on Skype with Jerry Hinnon last week to recap the 21-0 win by Alabama in the national championship game. But I never got your thoughts on the game.
That's the BCS national championship game. It's not a real national championship
game. Okay, fine. Yet. But it was, the for all intents and purposes, the national championship game. And it was 21-0. What did you think of that game?
It was a little bit more exciting than the first game. But I was still very disappointed, very bored. The problem with it...
I thought it was less exciting than the first game.
Well,
there was no suspense. At no point in the second half did I think LSU was going to win.
But I kept waiting for LSU to mount some sort of offense.
But it didn't feel like it was going to happen.
No, Alabama's defense was so dominating.
So disciplined. You know, their defense, they
won
like
penalty?
A bunch of NFL play. Yeah, and that penalty, if I remember correctly, was on special teams, right? It was like offsides on a punt.
Late, too.
Yeah, real late.
No, listen, I just kept waiting for Jarrett Lee to come in. I thought they were at a point when it was 15-0 that they had to make a change.
There seems to be a little controversy around that now. So you thought they should have made the change?
You have nothing to lose. It's 15-0.
I talked about it last week. You could definitely make the case to make the change. I don't think it would have mattered, though.
It probably wouldn't have, but you don't know. You're now at this point where you don't know what would have happened because you didn't try it.
Well, he wanted more mobility. Les Miles wanted a mobile quarterback back there around the rush.
Oh, yeah, because Jefferson was getting around the rush all night. No, he was getting destroyed back there.
I know, but imagine how badly Jarrett Lee would have gotten destroyed. I think that's the point.
But at least he would have heaved some balls downfield. You know, the worst thing about the whole game is, and we talked about it before, the previewing the podcast and talking to other people, how LSU was going to run the option. That was
debacle. That's what I said. I was like, no, but I said that they're not going to be able to run the option that well. I was like, you kidding me that you think that Alabama's going to have over a month to prepare and that they're going to come out and get schooled by the option? Get out of here. No way.
I mean,
they don't have those type of running backs.
It was comical to watch Jefferson roll out on an option and see three linebackers waiting there for them.
They were so well prepared. That defense seems to be in the right place at the right time. They lose a lot from that defense. I think we'll have Dodd on next week, and we'll talk a little bit about his preseason top 10. I think LSU is preseason number one. I'm very excited about them next year. And I think you have to remember that even great teams have bad games. They picked a horrible time to have a bad game. But they were an outstanding, dominating team for the first 13 games of the season.
Correct.
The 12 and then the SEC championship game. And there are a lot of reasons for optimism next year. I mean, you would think they'll get better at quarterback, right?
I don't see how they could get worse.
Yeah. Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee were fine against regular defenses.
Yeah, but
against Georgia and Alabama, they weren't.
But you're right. They were playing top-notch defenses. That's what happened. Again, I agree with you. LSU is going to be number one. Another team that's being talked about, which I'm interested to see, is USC. Because they're going to be...
I think it might be a little too hasty there. I don't know that they have the defense to be number one. They kind of remind me of Oklahoma coming into this season, where, rightfully so, Oklahoma was preseason number one. Because we thought their defense was going to be great.
Yeah, it was
awful.
And
it wasn't.
No.
So I don't know about USC's defense. That's my only concern. And I love Oregon. I think that they're going to be a sleeper team next year.
I would have loved Oregon if Darren Thomas stayed.
Who cares? Didn't you see Brian Bennett play?
Let me ask you something about Darren Thomas. Does he think he's going to be a top drafted NFL QB?
Does he think he's going to be a drafted NFL QB?
I don't understand that.
I don't know why he left.
There's got to be something else going on there. And same thing with Barrett Trotter.
You know, guys get really bad advice a lot. Well, Barrett Trotter he doesn't think he's going to be an NFL quarterback. I think he's just done.
He's just done with school.
I think he graduated, I think. He has another year of eligibility.
He might, yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe he hasn't graduated. Regardless, from what I read, it's not like he thinks he's going to the NFL.
He just is done playing football.
Yeah, I mean...
He gave it a shot, and they should just keep him. Let him play home games against non-conference teams, and then have another.
Well, you would think that they'd want to turn it over to Kyle Frazier, right?
At this point, I would assume so.
Or whoever they bring in this
year, Clint Mosley or whoever.
Another guy. I want to do two shows next week if we can. I want to get Dodd on, and I want to get Brian Fisher on because signing day is coming up. Brian's our recruiting guy, and we will have some signing day coverage. You got to be on the website for signing day. There's just so much stuff. We've got everything covered, and we'll have some podcasting surrounding that. We'll talk a little bit about coaching moves today. But let's just get your overall thoughts on the season. What did you think of 2011?
I didn't think it was a great college football season.
Why?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I just felt like, I don't know, the whole, I mean, first of all, I thought at the beginning of the season, look, I picked Alabama number one preseason. And I said they'd be in the national championship game.
We all picked them to win the national championship.
And then LSU.
You, me, and Dodd.
And then LSU beat Alabama. And then we all jumped on the LSU bandwagon. And then Alabama came back. I just felt like something was missing this year. I felt like some piece was missing where we didn't get to see something. I don't know. And maybe it's getting to the point where I'm just so tired of the BCS and the whole system that I don't know. I just kind of had it.
What was missing? I mean, I thought it was a pretty good year. We didn't have that many epic games.
No.
You know, we talked about that a lot throughout the year. There weren't that many, other than Wisconsin games. There weren't that many great, great games. But toward the end of the year, we got them. You know, we got the Baylor-Oklahoma game, and then we got the Oklahoma State-Iowa State game. We got some really good BCS, two great BCS bowl games.
Sure, the Rose and the Fiesta were fantastic.
The Orange Bowl was great.
For about 5 minutes. The thing I think I'm trying to say is I'm at a point now where I'm tired of this whole BCS system.
Yeah, but you were forever.
But I'm just getting really tired of this every game count. It doesn't. Just come out and say, look, we lied to you.
Can you stop? You always get on this soapbox.
Listen, I want them to come out and say, look, we apologize. This every game counts motto, it's not really true. It doesn't mean anything.
Look,
because
you gotta
the
get
whole
over
season
it
is not really
you
a
have
playoff
to get over it. If you're going to cover college football, you have to realize That's ridiculous. This is the system we have. Now, we should talk about the plus one system. You like a plus one?
I like a playoff better, but I will take the plus one if I can get it.
Yeah, I'll take a plus one too. I think very unlikely that the fifth best team in the country has a legitimate beef for the national championship. Third best, yeah.
Right. And
fifth best, that's
but you're
going to
hear that argument. You're going to hear people say, well, now the number five, and I'm going to tell those people, would you rather have the number five team left out of a four-team playoff, or would you rather have the number three team left out? So you people who say the number five, just please shut up and take the – no, because I'm serious. You know, and then if you go to an eight-team playoff, I hear people say, well, then there's going to be controversy over who's number eight or nine. Well, we have controversy now over who's one and two.
Yeah, well
– so let's take steps to get there, okay, people?
I agree.
Sorry, I'm a little fired up.
You're very fired up.
BCS gets me all
wound up.
You get me wound up.
If we had a plus one this year, and we had Oklahoma State play Alabama, and we had LSU play Stanford, Alabama, looking back now, I think Alabama beats LSU in the national championship game.
Probably.
You know?
Probably.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
We don't know. And we'll never know. So, A.J. McCarron was the MVP, by the way, of the game. What do you think about him next year? He was a sophomore this year, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 202.6 yards per game. They've got a new offensive coordinator. It's Doug Nussmeier, formerly Washington's offensive coordinator. Alabama loses Jim McElwain, who is now the head coach at Colorado State. You look at Nussmeier, 3 years as offensive coordinator at Washington. 2008, the year before he took over the job, they were 118th in the nation in scoring offense. 2009, they were okay. 2010, they were okay. 2011, they were really good. I think they were 25th, but their offense kind of took off. Now he goes to Alabama.
Listen, in the Alabama system, they just want a QB who can manage the game, hand it off to the running backs, not make mistakes, and allow your defense to do the work. And listen, Greg McElroy was never a great QB.
He was better than McCarron.
Oh, he was better than McCarron.
Yeah, the book's still yet to be written on McCarron. But
right.
He was better than McCarron.
But I think what
season.
You saw in the championship game is what Alabama wants out of McCarron. Make some passes. Don't make mistakes. Don't turn the ball over.
But here's my question. Can they get away with that again without Trent Richardson? Losing what they're losing on defense? They'll probably still have a good defense, but they're not going to have the best defense, one of the best defenses in the history of college football, given
maybe eight points
per game.
Right. Well, maybe McCarron will have to throw. Listen,
he's going to have to take a step, and they're going to have to get a wide receiver to step up.
Well, that's going to be the thing, yeah. I think Alabama, too, isn't playing, and Alabama fans will probably kill me for saying this, but I don't think Alabama is going to be built for a national championship next year. It's kind of like they're losing so much. So you get the new recruits in, you get the team gelling for a year, and then the following year you try to make that push again.
I think it's the same thing you say about the 2010 team.
Sure.
Which lost a lot from 2009, and then they lost two or three games.
Two, I think.
Yeah, and then 2011, they won the national championship. They won two of the last three. Nothing wrong with that.
It's what No, but that's what happens in college football. You lose players, and you have to get the new players in. That's why it's so hard to repeat as a national champion. It's just so hard in college football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought there was a good chance LSU would be entering 2012 with a chance to be repeat champs. But anyway, the SEC dominated again this year.
Of course.
I think it was good, though, that USC is back in the picture now. I know a lot of people are going to be all over them, like we already talked about it. But it was at least good to see, because they're the type of Pac-12 team that can beat an SEC team, that can win a championship.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Oregon is a – listen, let's not take anything away from Oregon. They're a great program.
Yeah, they almost won.
But having USC is good for college football. It's a big college football program out west. And maybe you're right. Maybe that – they get the type of athletes that can take on and beat an SEC team in the national championship game.
Yeah. The West Virginia situation is interesting. They are sort of in two conferences and in no conferences at the same time. The Big East is trying to keep them. They want to be in the Big 12. They'll probably end up in the Big 12, but it's strange, isn't it?
It is strange. They should maybe pull the let's go independent 1 year, play in the...
Well, they'll be in the Big 12 eventually. We just don't know if it's going to be this year. And the schedules are going to come out soon. So really, it just seems like they have to settle their legal issues with the Big East. And then they'll be a Big 12 team. I think the money issue just keeps getting worse, Darce. You know, you can't look at college football right now without seeing something like Brent Venables is now the defensive coordinator for Clemson. And he's making $750,000 to $1 million a year. And he's a defensive coordinator. And the BCS schools are just paying so much for head coaches. And now they're paying more and more for assistant coaches. And it's just a bad system.
It is a bad system. It's the money has taken over college football. It's not a...
The money has completely taken over college football. All the expansion stuff. Again, you can't look back at 2011 without looking at the money and all the TV contracts that were signed and all the moves that were made in the interest of getting bigger TV contracts. What's going on with the Pac-12? They're this juggernaut now. It's just that it's a total money industry, and the haves and the have-nots, the gap is widening.
But here's what I don't understand is a playoff system would bring in so much money.
That doesn't matter. That is meaningless because you're still talking about being in these BCS conferences – getting more money because you're in the SEC or the Pac-12 or whatever compared to the MAC, and having more money to spend on facilities and having more money to spend on coaches.
I know, but what I'm saying is they're all against – a lot of these commissioners – and not, I mean, things are turning, but a lot of the commissioners and a lot of the presidents are against a playoff, but think how much money a playoff would bring. Aren't they about money? They're signing contracts with TVs. They're moving conferences because of money.
But the BCS commissioners – they have every right to be against the playoff because they're in the BCS. The system's made for them.
Right. Well, that's you're right.
You know?
A playoff only hurts them down the road if one of those teams gets hot in the playoffs. And
we're going to have a playoff. I'm convinced. I don't know when, but we're going to have a playoff.
Yeah, at some point there'll be one.
I just don't know when the public is, when the fans are going to get fed up.
They're
fans,
already fed
up. When are you going to get fed up to the point where you don't care about college football, where you don't want to watch?
Well, I don't know about that, but listen, the championship games ratings were very low this year.
I'm not too surprised, though.
A lot has to do with it. Right, it's the matchup. It's a southern matchup. A lot of the country didn't care. But still, the ratings were down. That's got to be a sign. You had a championship game featuring two teams from the same conference, and the ratings were down. That's going to get the other commissioners to wake up, and that's what's happened. That's why the plus one system is finally getting stronger and stronger.
Well, send us an email, podcast@cbsinteractive.com, and I want to know how fed up you are. I know you're all fed up because I see those emails, but I want to know at any point, would you stop? You know, are you saying I can't do this anymore? I'm losing interest in college football. I can't. I'm addicted.
But I think when the baseball strike happened, a lot of people, including myself, said, I'm done. I'm not watching baseball anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, after a few months, I kind of started watching again. So, I mean, it's hard to just give up on a sport.
Especially if you're in a place, like a lot of those SEC towns, they don't watch pro football.
Right.
They don't care as much about pro football. You know, I love pro football. In fact, we could talk about the Giants for the rest of the podcast.
Well, the SEC schools are probably not fed up with football because it's working for them right now. And not to say that it's, you know, I'm like I said, it's not like we say we don't have the right champion. Alabama was a great team. They're probably the best team in college football. But I'm talking about other teams, like maybe the Oklahoma State fans who got felt they got left out, or somebody else feels they got left out. Those are the schools that are kind of like, look, this is, I'm getting tired of this.
I don't think any of the BCS school fans are going to get tired of it to the point where they're going to stop watching. But I wonder if the non-BCS fans, you know, the smaller guys, are going to stop.
No, because they have their schools they root for.
Yeah. So, you know, it's your alma mater in many cases. You're not going to turn your back on it.
Listen, I know and another thing the BCS loves to do is the bowl system. We have to preserve the bowl system. Do you see some of these games and the TV ratings on some of these games? Plus, not only that, schools are losing money to go to these games.
Bowl systems is so stupid. Everybody knows how much Darce and I love college football. We don't watch that many bowl games, you know?
I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I watch the BCS games. The other ones, if I have nothing to do, okay, fine, I'll watch, whatever.
It honestly reminds me of the NFL preseason. It really does, because the games don't mean anything.
Yeah, well,
every game counts?
Let's talk about some news items. So, yeah, I wanted to actually discuss Brent Venables going to Clemson. Really underwhelming job at Oklahoma. You know, this is a guy whose name came up for coaching jobs a lot. Oklahoma's defense, if you look at all the units, all the offenses and defenses in college football, can you think of a more disappointing unit than the Oklahoma defense in 2011?
No, they were disappointing in general. I mean, listen, they were a preseason number one or two in every publication and every site, and they finished like 16th in the nation. They just had a very disappointing year.
Texas offense could be as disappointing as the Oklahoma defense.
I didn't expect much out of the Texas offense this year. Not with those two guys at quarterback.
I definitely expected more.
More than what, 6 points a game?
Yeah, more than 6 points a game. Trying to think of other units that really disappointed. And off the top of my head, it's kind of tough. But the Maryland offense.
Well, the first, yeah. I mean,
they were horrible.
You had the ACC reigning player of the year, Danny O'Brien. They looked great against Miami. And then all of a sudden, they just collapsed.
Yeah, that's a good one. Maryland offense might have been more disappointing than the Oklahoma defense, but look, they had all the elements, okay? They had two good pass rushers, and Lewis and Alexander. They had Tom Wart, Travis Lewis at linebacker. They had Tony Jefferson, Demontre Hurst, Javon Harris in the secondary, and that's leaving off some very good players here. And they finished 55th in the nation in total defense. So now he's going to Clemson, and Clemson replacing Kevin Steele. And boy, what a pathetic showing in the Orange Bowl. That was just a really weird game. But I don't see that this is that much of an upgrade. You know, Oklahoma brought in Mike Stoops to basically replace Brent Venables.
I don't think it is an upgrade, but I think it's maybe, listen, Clemson recruiting-wise over the last couple of years is getting a lot of big-name players.
Yeah, I like Clemson. They're on the way up.
And maybe he's figuring, you know what, here's a team that's on the way up, a chance to win the ACC. I can be a part of this. I'm getting great talent. It's not like it's not like Gus Malzahn going to Arkansas State or something, taking a huge step down. I mean, Clemson could be a top.
Arkansas State's defense might have more talent than Auburn's.
Clemson might end up, you know, as a top 10 program. So, I mean,
how about this hire at Wisconsin, their new offensive coordinator to replace Paul Chryst, who is now the Pittsburgh head coach? They get Matt Canada, new offensive coordinator, was Northern Illinois' offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. He'll be the quarterbacks coach at Wisconsin as well.
They put up a lot of points.
They do, but here's the thing. So before Northern Illinois, Canada worked at Indiana for 7 years. Four of those years he was their offensive coordinator. Then he was offensive coordinator at Northern Illinois. Now before Indiana, he was an assistant coach at Northern Illinois and an offensive coordinator for 1 year. But all that OC experience, I think only one of those years was a pro-style offense. At Indiana and then in his second stint in Northern Illinois, all spread offense. Wisconsin has one of the most old school, yet one of the most unique offenses in college football because you just don't see that anymore. You don't see a team that just lines up and tries to pound it with the ground game. I mean, they're so pro style in so many respects. So it's an interesting hire to get a guy who's basically been in a spread offense for, I don't know, maybe the last 8 years or so.
Well, maybe he's going to bring some new changes to Wisconsin's offense.
You think so?
No. They'll run the ball.
No, Brett Bielema said they're going to stay pro-style.
Yeah. Get the offensive lineman and run the ball. That's got to be a tough job. Hand it off, hand it off, hand it off.
Oh, man.
Curl route.
That Rose Bowl is just so cool. You know, just seeing the two ways that those two schools put up points. And either way can work. Anything else?
No, that's about it. I think, like I said, I don't know. I was just kind of let down by college football. I mean, I picked Alabama to win it all. They have a great team. I don't know. I just figured, I don't know.
I wasn't really that let down, honestly.
Maybe because I was expecting a better finish, better championship game.
To be quite honest, the first half of the season was a little uneventful. Like, we had all those great games the first week of the season. You know, we had LSU, Oregon. We had Boise State, Georgia. But really, it was the second half of the season that gave us some of those crazy Big 12 games. Wisconsin, Michigan State was about the halfway point. Wisconsin, Ohio State was the week after. I think college football got off to a slow start, but really finished strong. And I know the national championship game was a huge letdown, but sometimes that happens. You know,
we've had a lot of bad national championship games. I mean, listen, Ohio State got blown out by Florida a few years ago.
LSU handled them too.
USC beat Oklahoma a few years ago, 55-0. You know, yeah, we've had some disastrous championship games. So I mean, you can't expect them all to be good. But whatever. It's another year. Chalk it up to an SEC team, and you're going to look ahead to next year. You're going to see an SEC team favorite again.
Agreed. As we look ahead, we'll go to the 2012 preseason top 10 with Dennis Dodd, and we'll do some recruiting stuff with Brian Fisher. For J. Darren Darst, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to y'all later.